Oh, hi. Is Mr. Richard Raines there? It's Jason L speaking.
Just one second, please. Richard Raines.
Oh, hi, Richard. It's Jason speaking. I saw.
How are you?
Yeah, not too bad. I saw your email a couple of days ago. Sorry, I was been away for a day.
Yeah, no, I was just wanting to let you know, give you an update on what was going on.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
Yeah, so there was the company did go into liquidation yesterday.
Yes.
No, it didn't. It went into liquidation the 17th in the afternoon, and then the winding up petition yesterday, which got dismissed.
Okay. All right. Yes. I heard something about the court case. I wasn't too sure exactly how that sort of panned out because I heard something about it not quite being dismissed, but effectively going neither one way or the other way, effectively. So,
It was. It was dismissed.
okay. On do you know what grounds?
Yeah, we applied because the company was already in liquidation.
Yeah.
We applied to have the winding up petition dismissed.
Okay. All right. All right. No, that's okay. That's fine. That's it's in. At least I know what's happening. No, because I mean I'm also a little bit confused because obviously you backed down a few weeks ago, and then the last thing I heard was a company called Greenfield Recovery in Birmingham had taken up.
I wasn't aware of their involvement,
Yeah.
but they've backed off now.
Yes. Okay. All right. Yeah. I mean, to me, I'll be brutally honest to you about it. Yeah, I do smell a bit of a rat here because why would they be appointed and then disappear? In the same sense that obviously you had your reasons, but obviously they've got some reasons, and it's a
Exactly
never-ending.
what happened. Nothing suspicious at all. What happens is, when a winding up petition gets presented to the court, it goes on a court list,
Yeah.
obviously, because you've got to have court hearing dates.
Yep.
The petition was presented in, I don't know, November or something, sometime,
Mm-hmm.
And convened for the 18th of December. And, of course, that goes on a court list, and insolvency practitioners... sorry, what are you after? Oh, no. So, insolvency practitioners, as a marketing thing,
Yeah.
buy data off of people who are collated together, because obviously if someone's issued a winding up petition, then the company obviously has financial difficulties, and they have a marketing team fund run trying to convince people into using their services and paying them some money to help them.
Yeah.
So they contacted the directors of Jet Group Services Limited, as they were,
Yep.
and said, look, can we come and have a meeting? Can we help you? Blah, blah, blah. And that kind of meeting scared them stupid about all the rubbish. And they signed up. George, Cynthia, and Philip Williams had a meeting and signed up with Greenfield,
Okay.
who didn't bother to tell me they're involved, even though they knew we were involved. So they were provided with a shareholders notice of shareholders meeting, which I think you got a copy of with my name on it. So we were out of courtesy, but probably more than that, they ought to have informed me of their involvement. They didn't. So then I and then Cynthia told me, and because she just didn't understand what was she didn't really understand what the process was.
Yep.
These people had, if were a little bit economical with explaining things a little bit here and there. And so anyway, they signed up with them. Ultimately, we had the shareholders meeting took place. I was appointed the liquidator on Tuesday,
Yep.
and then so there was a creditors meeting, which you were aware of as well, mentioned to me, and they my appointment was ratified, not theirs. So they're now out of the picture.
Okay, all right, so they're not going to be in the picture at all. It is you going forward. Because it is, to me,
Company was in
obviously, it's.
liquidation, I'm liquidated, so that's kind of the outcome, but it wasn't as simple as it sounds.
Just from my perspective, it's like going on a wild goose chase, actually.
Oh, well, yeah,
It's easy to can imagine.
it's just been unbelievable from, I can't tell you, from a number of perspectives, but anyway, it's been
Okay,
unbelievable.
all right, so. Just sort of going forward, I presume, standard sort of process, hopefully now, for not going to be.
Well, I wouldn't bank on it, but hopefully.
Okay, yeah, fair enough. No, I mean, you're well aware of the situation. I'd been working, been paid out of the company, for, its entirety, and, my last few invoices hadn't been paid. I mean, so I'll be fairly clear about it because you'll see the emails anyway. George and I had a difficult.
I need to get on top of it as well. I know the superficial side of things, and it does go back to you sort of saying, I was working for the Jet Group Services Limited and I owe money for the services I gave it, and then Mr. Kirker turns around and says, well, Jet Group Services didn't have any business. In which case, you've got a question, well, why were people being paid to do services for a company that didn't have a business?
Well, effectively, services was collecting money on behalf of the Jet Group is the
Then why was it
understanding.
the Jet Group? Why weren't you invoicing the Jet Group?
So, look, the money was coming out of services in the end, so that's why I went for it, because
Well,
it's like the money.
no, I understand why you might be paid from Jet Group Services, but why would you be invoicing the Jet Group Services?
So, well, anyway, the reality is,
Yeah, I understand. That's why
that
this
needs,
is where
yeah.
this is where what this is what I don't understand. I need to now look into and find out what the truth was, because you can see where there's confusion, I suppose, is what has caused a lot of problems.
Yes. Yeah. No, I realise that, and at the end of the day, this will, I think you'll find it will all rewind to events that happened in last June, basically. Before that, it was fairly straightforward because I was director of both companies. I had an understanding of how the two worked together, and it seems that the friction between George and not just myself, literally everybody else in the business that doesn't live in Stoke has materially changed things. But anyway, you've got your fact-finding process that you'll discover over
I
the.
mean, we're right to ask you to, as well as anybody else, to explain what your understanding of the business was, and then hopefully that'll make sense, and things will sort of fall into place again.
Yes.
So,
Okay. All right. Fair
truth will
enough.
out, as they say, truth will out, and that's all we're trying to do, to just get to the bottom of things and make sure that I can firstly understand what was going on, rather than having one-sided representations.
Yeah.
And then things will make sense.
Okay. Fair enough. And what about this? So, what's the whole state of the HMRC stuff? I mean, is it completely dismissed, or is it out of it? So it's out of the picture completely as far as.
Well, revenue customers may or may not still be owed money, because the companies also disputes owes them
Yeah.
the amount of money they were claiming. The winding up petition is that all the winding up petition is a creditor, and it could be anyone,
Yes.
customers in this case, went off to court and sort of said, we're owed money by this company, we'd like it to be put into liquidation. And on yesterday, the judge just sort of said, well, the company is in liquidation, so do you particularly object to your application being dismissed, because there's no point, it's in liquidation already. And you sort of said, okay, fair enough. And so the that's all just a petition. It hasn't affected how much revenue is already owed,
Yeah.
just
Okay.
stopped that process.
Okay, so it, as far as
That's
my,
the
I'm trying,
petition.
yeah. I'm just trying to un control, understand
No,
the logic of it. And so, in my mental mindset, is that HMRC issue the petition because they want to control the wind up. That.
they won't control the wind up. All the winding up petition
Yeah.
is to put the company into liquidation. Nobody who issues a petition
Yeah.
controls the winding up.
Yeah. Well, I would have thought they'd have appointed their own administrator is what is what I'm sort of trying to get at. Whereas, obviously,
Yeah,
you proceed that.
all the winding up petition is someone's come to court and said this company should be put into liquidation, and the court sort of has to say, you sort of know, and anyone can, anyone who's got an interest, such as a creditor, can jump on, or shareholders or the company itself go off to the court and make representations, and then the judge will view, should the company be put into liquidation or not? It doesn't matter who's asked for it. Is the company insolvent, or is the company solvent as far as the judge is concerned?
Yep.
And if it's put into liquidation, then the official receiver normally would become the liquidator, because kind of a liquidator, and so the official receiver is like the part of the insolvency service, civil servant, and the insolvency service. They become the liquidator, and they get on with the winding up of the company's affairs. So all that's happened is it starts the liquidation process. It doesn't. You don't get any more rights whatsoever as
Yep.
petitioning at talk. So all that happened on the 18th was the judge said, well, there's no point in putting it into liquidation, it's all in liquidation.
Fair enough.
As of yesterday. So they fought kind of thing. So he dismissed the petition. Nobody's lost any rights, nobody's got any more rights than they would or wouldn't have in either route.
Yeah.
Because all voting in insolvency proceedings goes on value of claims, so
yeah.
£1 per vote. So
yeah.
Anybody, you know, in, and that would have been the same if the petition had gone through.
Yeah.
Whoever's had the most would control, you know, certain aspects of the liquidation. In a voluntary liquidation, nothing's really changed. The only thing that's changed is that, and the reason why we didn't want it to go into compulsory liquidation is just that the ease slower. Much, much slower by time. What happens in practice is that the court makes court orders, put the company into liquidation, they then stamp the file, and the file goes off, and then it gets sent off to the local official receiver's office, whichever office that they do by region, goes off there. Then somebody at the official receiver's office picks up the file, has a quick look. All they know at that stage, is that one person's owed X amount of money to that person who petitioned. So then they write to the directors with a big questionnaire and sort of says, can you tell us chapter and verse about the company? Or they might invite the directors in to give them information about the company, you know, like what assets it's got, who else it owes money to, its story, blah, blah, blah. And then they will decide what to do. And if they decide it's a bit complicated, then they will call a creditors meeting to appoint a replacement liquidator. Or if a creditor requests, they'll call a meeting to appoint a replacement liquidator. And that meeting is on value of claim.
Okay.
So it's a 3 or 4 month process.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
By which time, nothing's done.
Yeah.
Which wasn't terribly helpful from, you know, the Stoke side, if you like.
Yeah.
And equally, it wasn't terribly helpful from your side.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough.
So your side, because I think the JetBlue Kirkus solicitors wrote to me, inviting me to be to reapply to be administrator last week.
Mm-hmm. Fair enough.
Because they won't be with interference, put it that way, from well, I'm assuming they didn't say specifically, but I'm reading through the lines from Stoke's side.
Mm-hmm.
So they wanted, and they, you know, they actually at that point preferred a professional involved who's got to act objectively and reasonably, as opposed to a bunch of people running around doing all sorts of things and not being able to stop them because, you know, they're individuals and they do what they like, kind of thing. Whereas if the company's in process,
yeah.
An insolvency practitioner who has to be acting properly.
Yeah, okay. Fair enough.
So, but we didn't go down that route because we didn't think we had time to do it, and also it's quite expensive, and you know, and also the liquidation process was so close to being, you know, like 3 or 4 working days away, kind of thing, so there's no point.
Fair enough. Okay. One of the things that kind of.
It's going to be an interesting case.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. Definitely will be. No, one of the things you sort of bring up is, you know, effectively, £1, one vote kind of thing, or, you know, effectively it's based on claim. I'm just intrigued with that because, I mean, I'm well aware of what George is like, and I wouldn't be surprised if GCV has put a rather large claim in. Albeit, you know, there's a lot of people out there who would question the validity of that claim. Put it another way, I've seen something very similar happen with a competitor company where, you know, it's very easy for someone to put claims in that are ridiculous and, you know...
Well, that is one of the liquidator's jobs, is to adjudicate correct claims. So
yes. Yeah.
Looked at.
Fair enough. No. Okay. That's you know as long as that's sort of.
And that applies to all creditors, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, looked at, and have you taken as to whether they're right or wrong, and what you can do about it.
Fair enough. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. No, that's fine. No, because I'll be brutally honest here. You know, the thing that does. Concern me or sort of smell a little bit to me is that, you know, clearly HMRC had a claim. I would imagine it's fairly substantial. I can't remember the figure, but I understand it to be just about... Yeah, I understand it to be about 6 figures, so it's certainly something not to be dismissed too quickly. And so, you know, obviously if they've gone to the effort to sort of go to court, etc., etc., they're obviously quite serious about elements of this. And so, you know, what it stinks to me is that GCV putting in the claim larger than HMRC's would be convenient in my mind.
At this stage, I mean, look, at this stage, well, Greenfields, as you know, they were involved, pulled the asset and liability information together, so I don't know or looked at or had any involvement in that side of things up to now. Normally, we would have done, we would have pulled, you know, assisted the directors in pulling that statutory and financial information together. We didn't in this case, Greenfield did, so I don't know where they took this from or what they've adjudicated or reviewed, or, but at the end of the day, it is the directors that concerns, not the involved. Actually, well, obviously, you help them put together and see stuff naturally in that process, so, but I haven't been involved in that process, which you normally would in these kind of scenarios. Because, as I explained, they went off to Greenfield, without my knowledge, they handled totally that side of things until. I haven't even looked at it. But, yes, that is one of the jobs of the liquidators to agree the creditors' claims at some point. If they're, you know, it's arguable if it's worth doing if there's not going to be any assets distributed. In terms of revenue and customs, I think I'm aware there was an appeal lodged against their claim. It was too late to change, you know, revenue's mind as to whether they owe money or not. And that was assisted by the accountants Versa, because they were doing most of the bookkeeping anyway, I think, and filed by a solicitor. They got a solicitor to file the appeal with revenue customs, which I saw a couple. I don't know what they've been, what rationale or what went into that, but I have been provided with a copy of the appeal being sent into revenue customs and confirmation from the solicitor that he'd sent it in. That was only done, I think, Monday, or Friday or Monday, so very recently, and too late for revenue to process it, obviously, in advance of the hearing. But again, you know, he mentioned that to me, and I said to them, file it or don't file it. We have to make it different at this stage because it's not going to, you know, it's not going to be updated by Wednesday when the hearing was, and the liquidator's going to have to adjudicate the claims in due course. So actually, you know, I didn't care if you filed it or not. They did file it just because they'd done all the work anyway. But it doesn't change anything one way or the other. You know, it all has to fall out in the wash.
Okay, fair enough. All right. Well, yeah. I mean, like I say, you know, my questions over GCV are a concern. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me, and it's just also a little bit convenient because, I mean, George, you know, much like the Jet Group Services, he, you know, his name isn't above the door in an official means for Jet Groups. The line's not brilliant here, unfortunately, and the whole house is actually a bit of a black spot, unfortunately, for this sort of stuff. I'll try and keep sort of still. But basically, you know, George never had his name for any against anything in the Jet Group Services officially, but you know, I'm well aware he pulls the strings. I mean, clearly, Albie, etc., took instruction from George. And you know, he obviously speaks to you to some degree, and I feel that there's a little conflict because you know, GCV again is controlled by George. So you know, to me, it's a little bit too tight, particularly when much, you know, such a large sum of money is involved. I mean, you know, my sum of money as a creditor is relatively negligible, and I, you know, I've been fairly frank about it that there was a dispute, and therefore, you know, obviously, you know, that has to obviously come out in the wash, and you know, someone has to make a decision on that. And I'm, you know, ultimately George didn't want to pay me because he wanted to, you know, to use me as a political footballer. You know, what you make of it is your decision, and I'm, you know, I'm hoping that that does keep as objective as possible. You know, I'm not expecting the, you know, necessarily the full amount to be recognised, but you know, even George and Adam, before all of this administration process happened, did recognise in the phone call that, you know, there's certain expenses that did need to be paid and never did get paid. So you know, there is an element that isn't disputable, and obviously, you know, how much I get out of that at the end of the day, I think is going to be very negligible. If there's, you know, no money in the pot, there's no money in the pot. But you know, like I say, the investigation needs to happen, and in my eyes, personally, actually, it's more about the investigation than the money. if I have to write off the money, I have to write off the money, you know. Yeah. But I do want honest answers to come out of the wash. Whether the money comes out is another thing, and to be honest, I'm not optimistic, and part of me has is past that desire to be optimistic about it. Anyhow.
Well, I mean, look, I mean, at this stage, as I said to Paul Breehan when we first met, at this stage, now finally,
Yep.
the company's in liquidation. And so one of the duties of the liquidator is to investigate anything that may or may not have happened in the past and to report anything that comes to his attention that may warrant a conduct review of the directors. So, to the insolvency service, because they can disqualify directors,
Yeah.
people. And quite often we use them to do the investigation. If they do disqualify somebody,
Yeah.
then we piggyback the rationale for doing that. So if they disqualify someone because they've just been misusing company funds, well, then that gives the liquidator something to sort of go on the back of, say, well, it's always been proven you misuse company funds. Now we've just got to, sort of say to you when you're going to repay
Yeah.
it, as opposed to spending time and money doing
Yeah.
commercially. But the thing about it is that we have to be objective, and we have to, and we can't accept an insolvency instruction where we've had prior involvement with the company
Yeah.
in terms of management, advising it, blah blah blah, or a personal relationship with the directors. And I have to ethically confirm that, and I definitely haven't got a personal relationship with George other than a business relationship
Yeah.
of superficial advice over the years, and definitely have had no, as you can tell, because I don't really know what was going on with Jet Group
Yeah.
Services or the Jet Group. Haven't been involved in the company or acted for it or managed it or any knowledge of its workings
No, no.
whatsoever, other than what people have told me over the telephone. So,
Yeah. Well,
for
yeah,
the most part,
you can see the emails that have bounced around to some degree, and I know
of
you
course, never read them.
haven't read them, but maybe now's the time to get some bedtime reading in. I'm sure they'll
Well,
help
I
you
don't think I've
sleep.
got, the trouble is I don't have time to ever read them. I mean, I have them, but they would
No,
help.
but you'll get an idea
The
of,
point I'm making is we're
yeah,
starting totally from a blank
fresh,
slate,
yeah.
because I don't, I've got a flavour there's a dispute in the background, but I really, really don't understand what the dispute was. And I really, I haven't got time to go through all those emails, and I'm not going to go through those emails unless someone sort of directs me towards specific things which prove something they're saying,
Yeah.
in which case we will obviously utilise those. We've got those on our system somewhere. But point I'm making to you is this is a clean slate,
Yeah.
but investigating unless someone brings it to my attention.
Yeah.
So there is a huge onus in the insolvency on creditors' cooperation. If creditors don't say, "Oh, I'm aware Mr. Busfield pinched some money, and I think it was around this time, and I think it was for this reason, and I think, I don't know exactly, but this is what I've heard. Maybe you can look through the bank statements over this 3 month period, see if there's anything unusual." Stuff like that you can do. But you can't just go looking back over 3 years scrutinising every transaction. We always write to the bank and ask for generally, and banks, that's an easy example. But
Yeah.
there's other things that have gone on. How are you going to find them unless someone points you in the direction? Because you don't even know to look for them.
Yes. No, I understand.
Right. So what I'm saying to you is you send me and Aubrey and anybody else you're talking to as much as you want. Obviously, don't bombard us with 50 page letters and stuff because, it just takes too long to get to grips with. But,
Yeah.
as succinct but accurate as you can, then people investigate things.
Yeah.
That's our job.
Yeah. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, yes,
Unless you
obviously,
can
I can.
come to an explanation as to why not.
Yeah. I mean, ultimately, as a creditor and someone who was materially involved previously, obviously, I will, there will be stuff coming my way. As far as I'm concerned with the Jet Group Limited, I can provide some information, but I mean, I think that's really Kirker's remit. It will probably come through me through them, to be honest.
Well, so Kirk is the administrator of
Yeah.
Jet Group Limited.
Yeah.
I'm talking about transactions. I'm not talking about the ultimate sale, the
Yeah.
recent sale, because that's something, yes, I will have to do with him. Once, and I could to, as I say to you, I haven't even got to that stage yet. But with respect to, I mean, other things that went on prior to, obviously, the Jet Group Limited's administration, well, prior to today, or anything to do with Jet Group Services Limited. I'm not interested in Jet Group Limited particularly, because I'm not investigating the transactions of the Jet Group Limited. I'm only investigating the transactions, I will be looking at whether or not Czech Limited's administrator acted properly in setting the business. But what I'm talking about is more basic stuff. You know, what anything you're aware of that require investigations through the transactions of the Czech Group services over its life.
Yep. Okay. Fair enough.
Yeah. You know, and all the allegations that you kind of sort of you kind of alluded to.
Yeah.
If you want them investigated, you know, like for instance, I think you mentioned, you know, you found George had taken money, or you know, things he wasn't entitled to, or done things he shouldn't have done, or anybody actually, you know, anybody in Everwood. That's my job as a liquidator
of Czech Limited
Services Limited.
Fair enough. Okay. No, understood. Yeah, I mean, Yeah. No, okay. That's fair enough. You know, I'm sure stuff will come your way. You know, I guess, you know, I'll let the process get its legs, and we'll take it from there. But okay. At least I.
Yeah. I have to write to you as well, because obviously you were a director, I think, in the last 3 years.
Yes.
So as part of the reporting requirements of the insolvency services, we do have to file a report on anyone who was a director in the last 3 years.
Yeah.
You're pretty aware of that, because that's nothing would have happened with the Czech Group Limited.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Fair enough.
You know, if you haven't done anything wrong, who cares?
Mm-hmm. Indeed.
The insolvency services with the director as well.
Yeah. No. I mean, like I said in my previous call to you, I don't believe there's anything for me to be too concerned about. I don't see anything, you know, I personally don't see anything that's going to be an issue. My only concern really is that I know that George is very good at spinning things, and I'll be fairly frank, I've caught George lying, and I've caught George forging my signature. I've seen signatures that have been forged of mine, and they clearly have come from the general direction of George, and you know that can come out in the wash when it needs to come out. I won't bore you with the details now, but I definitely have my concerns, and to me that's very, very worrying, because the context in which that gets used concerns me, because I don't really, you know, my concern is that if someone's forging my signature, I don't know how it's being used, and if it's being used to gain things illicitly, I don't really want to be in the crosshairs for something that somebody else has done criminally. I'll be fairly frank about that. I have some very serious concerns about George. I'm pretty sure HMRC do, and I'm pretty sure, Mehl's dad does. And, you know, I don't know whether staff are going to be spoken to as well, but certainly staff likewise have issues. It's not going to be roses for George, but I think he's going to be, you know, my concern is, I'll be brutally honest, is, you know, George does instruct you, or has spoken to you, and he's very good at compelling people, and I am concerned about his influence, because at the end of the day, he was very good at pulling the wool over my eyes for a number of years, until I kicked up a fuss last year, and then, you know, now I find where I am where I am. And while I've got nothing to hide from, I am not exactly happy with the situation I find myself in, because it's not something of my own making. This is something of other people's making, and I just feel like I'm the janitor in this shit fest. And I think you'll find you'll be in a very similar position. and for that reason, I do sympathise with you to some degree, despite my wordy emails a few weeks ago. You know, I see it from both sides. Anyway, I'll leave you to get on with your job. Thanks for getting back to me. It is appreciated.
Anytime you want to clarify anything, just always call. Obviously, I can't advise you personally.
No, that's, yeah.
Certainly claim process and going on.
Yes, as you have done. Perfect. All right, well, thanks for your help. Much appreciated. Okay, then. Take care. Cheers, then. Bye-bye.